This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The south side of San Antonio is seeing changes with job growth and new development. City Councilmember Rebecca Villagran says there's a lot of opportunity in District 3. It's an area that she says it's a great place to live. It's an area she grew up in and is currently representing at City Hall. First elected in 2013, Villagran is in her third term on San Antonio City Council, earning 62% of the vote in District 3 voters in this year's municipal elections. She serves on the Governance Committee, chaired by Mayor Ron Nuremberg. She heads the city's Economic and Workforce Development Committee. She also serves on the Culture and Heritage Committee. We're joined this afternoon by Councilmember Villagran to discuss her vision for District 3 and for the city of San Antonio. We invite you to call in with your questions and comments for Councilmember Villagran. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can email us at The Source. You can email us at tpr.org and tweet us at tprsource. And Rebecca Villagran, it's great to have you here.
Thank you very much for having me.
So we're going to start off with a question that we already got from our voicemail, and this is from Tony.
This is Tony. My question for Councilwoman Villagran is if she would support relocating the Institute of Texan Cultures to Brook City Base. We have UIW, we have A&M there, and if we did that, we would have the University of Texas presence there. The Institute is, I think, vital to the city of San Antonio as well as other areas and the individuals who have visited it throughout the years. I'm wondering if she would support that, number one, and if she wouldn't, why not?
All right. We now know Brooks City Base is just Brooks. It's been shortened, like in Mel. And that's an interesting question.
Yeah, that is. Actually, it's a very engaging question, too. And I would love to be able to explore that opportunity to know that District 3 does have the four-year University of Texas A&M San Antonio, and now a medical school, the UIW School of Osteopathic Medicine, and the potential to have the Institute of Texan Culture because of what ITC does represent, the history and the story of Texas and of all of our cultures. I think it would be a great addition to District 3 in the south side of San Antonio, which I do believe represents the past, the present, and the future of San Antonio. So I haven't been approached by anyone about that, but I'd love to talk about it.
And there's a lot happening at Brooks. Also, the Institute of Texan Culture, we're not sure if it's being moved yet. A lot of talk in that area may not go to Brooks, but other people are thinking someplace else, maybe downtown. Do you know anything about that?
You know, we haven't been briefed on the relocation or even the conversation of where ITC may or may not go right now. I know they are working very, very focused right now with the tricentennial. They're doing a lot of work with the tricentennial coming up. So where they'll be moving to, we have not been briefed, but I'm ready to engage in those conversations to see where we should move it.
We do have a developing story with the Fourth Court of Appeals upholding provisions in the City of San Antonio's collective bargaining agreement with the San Antonio Professional Firefighters Association. The court ruled against the city in its lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of the so-called Evergreen Clause in this agreement. So this is a loss for City Hall in trying to make changes to that agreement. And Mayor Ron Nuremberg has put out a statement, and it looks like he's going to appeal. Where are you on this?
So I did see the recommendation, recommendation from our mayor, Mayor Nuremberg, and I know that we will be briefed by our city attorney. So I'm looking forward to hearing what our city attorney will say, what our outlook is as a city, and I'm also looking forward to hearing from the firefighters and the fire union side of this conversation too, because it is about the constitutionality, if it is or if it isn't. So I'd love to hear all sides, but I believe we will be briefed by our city attorney on this breaking news.
If the decision is to appeal, that's not earth-shattering because that's typically the process.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it has been talked about in the past. I do want to see where we will be putting ourselves as a city on both sides, if we do appeal, if we do not appeal, and what even impact that would have for our firefighters and for our budget, our city budget, and all our tax dollars.
Let's go to our live phone lines. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And we're joined by Brady. And Brady, welcome to The Source. You're on the air with District 3 City Council Member Rebecca Villagran.
Thank you. My question is, it is very concerning that in the recent election, 4 out of 10 voters in District 3, for various reasons, did not want you back for another term. What do you believe are those reasons, and what are you doing to reach out to those constituents who voted against you?
All right, Brady, thank you for that call. So we could always do better, even though that's a pretty decisive win. You can always do better.
Yes. And it's really interesting that this call came in, because just today I had a meeting with one of the my former opponents, who is wanting to work with me and reaching out to more of the western part of the district, of District 3. You know, District 3 is the largest district in the city of San Antonio. And in certain parts of the area, closer to the western part of the district, we are going to be working together, me and one of the opponents, my former opponents, to see what we can do to reach out to the community. Because there are also some not organized or not established registered neighborhood associations. So I think that organization and how we can help with that would be very, very interesting. But it comes to other issues such as infrastructure, such as areas that maybe need some more focus when it comes to commercial and economic development in areas that have not seen what we're seeing in the Brooks area, but make sure that Brooks serves as a catalyst for the remaining part of the district as well. So those are some of the things that we heard as I was out there, that they wanted to see attention and focus in other parts of the area and sidewalks and infrastructure. And that's what we're going to be addressing in this budget as well.
So in the course of preparing for the show, one of our producers, Jan, she called out to the neighborhood associations in your district, and she found that there's not a whole lot of them. Do you think the word has not gotten out of what a neighborhood association can do for a community?
I think it's about really talking about it, organizing, and a lot of people have just really busy lives, and taking the time, it's a lot of work to do to get organized and bring people together face to face. We have been seeing a lot of more engagement because of the Nextdoor app, but what we wanted to make sure that we do is jump from the virtual world into the real world, where we can have those face-to-face conversations. So we are going to be working with our housing and neighborhood department at the City of San Antonio to really reach out to our communities who maybe don't have those registered neighborhood associations, so they can be a part of the engagement in our community, because they're the ones who see the issues and the needs of District 3 every single day, and we need their eyes and ears a part of this process.
Representative for District 3, Rebecca Villagran, is with us this afternoon. If you got a question or a comment, our phone lines are open. Call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. When we come back from this break, we'll talk about the equity lens. What does this mean for District 3? Stand by. This is Texas Public Radio's The Source. We continue after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're here with Rebecca Villagran. She is the District 3 City Council member here in San Antonio, representing a big chunk of San Antonio's South Side, Southeast Side. And she is taking point on a number of issues impacting her district and the entire city. If you got a question or a comment for her, she'd love to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Earlier this week, we had City Manager Cheryl Scully with us, and we were talking about the equity lens and how this is playing a role in doing the budget process this year. And Rebecca Villagran, your district, District 3, will be getting some extra funds to try to make up for many years of not being funded at an equitable level. So talk about that some.
Yeah, I was very proud of the mayor and the council during our goal-setting session where we really wanted to, and Councilwoman Gonzalez also led the way with doing a lot of work when it comes to our street maintenance and our infrastructure, because even if we put the same rough proportionality to certain streets into certain districts, we would never be able to catch up with the maintenance of what our streets needed in District 3 and in certain districts of the city. So moving forward, we wanted to look at it in an equitable lens so we can put the resources to the areas of need. And District 3 is one of those areas. But what we're also going to do is look at it differently to see, okay, what is the soil composition of the area? And what is it right to use asphalt? Is it right to use concrete? Because that changes and it shifts the land as well. So we're getting very into the minutia of this because we want to make sure that whatever tax dollars we put into it, that we get the best bang for our buck. But District 3, because we were long underserved and we were long underinvested because of just rough proportionality, we are now able to get some more dollars for our street maintenance and infrastructure, which is important for trying to bring in businesses and new single family homes and other, and just to bring up our quality of life in our community.
So how bad were the streets, or how bad are the streets?
So the streets are bad. We have, the third largest number of center lane miles needed for repair. We have some of the most D and F streets. They've been graded in the city, and what we're trying to work up to is getting to a 70 PCI score.
A C,
yes. But we want that average for the entire city, because if we just did all of just the same way, the status quo that we've been doing, we're never going to get our streets to where they need to be. So we are working on those, and it's going to be helpful because, you know, our area and my constituents, we've deserved it and are worth it for a very long period of time.
Well, we're connected here in San Antonio. So even though I don't live in your district, I work with people and know people, are close to people who do and are reliant on having good streets. And we should all be invested in making sure that we all at least have that.
Yeah. And the streets that we drive, no matter what part of town you are, should be in good shape. And when one part of town succeeds, the other part of town succeeds. And that's what we have with this distribution. That is what it will take. That's what will happen. We're all going to succeed better as San Antonio when we put this forward.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. The number is 210-614-8980. And Sarah has called in. Sarah, welcome to The Source. You're on the air with District 3 City Council Member Rebecca Villagran.
Yes, hi, thank you. And thank you to Councilwoman Villagran for being on the Source. I'm a resident of District 3, and I want to know what you think about the Calumet refinery. It's polluting our south side. It is visible from the Mission Reach when you bike on it. I think it's an example of discrimination against the people who live on the south side, people of color, low-income people. I think it doesn't belong in our community. I want to know what the councilwoman thinks about that.
All right, Sarah, thank you for the call.
Thank you, Sarah, for that call. Unfortunately, that oil refinery has been there for decades, for about 50 years. And it was part of where I think she is right in the conversation of decisions made long, long before in our city, where the south side and other parts of town were seen as dumping grounds for certain things, for sewage areas, for oil refineries, for other items such as that. And that was a result of maybe at-large representation when it happened. And things started changing during the single-member district representation. And even in the recent past, we have had conversations with Calumet because of some spills that had been happening in some of the creeks. We have a community action board now that Calumet meets with in the local community in the neighborhoods. They have a person from my staff, people from the neighborhoods in the surrounding area to bring issues and concerns up of what's happening in the area. And if there are noise issues, if there are the flaring issues that happen there, there's this community action group that meets together. And then there was a, and so that's one of the things that we're working on. And they also worked, they are working on bringing up the safety standards of the area, of that facility too. And they've been working on it for 3 years and bringing up the safety here in this area. Calumet has been there for a very, very long time. And we do our due diligence of what we can do to maintain its, the safety for our surrounding areas. It is and would be very difficult to shut down this facility and move it to another area. But it's also then brings up the question, well, then where would we move it to? And then having that conversation, but it would have to be with the owners, with the government, and having those conversations. So it is there, and we're trying to do the best that we can with living with that right there. But she is right. You see it when you're on the mission reach. You see the flaring, but you do know it's part of the history, and it's been there for about 50 years.
Right. So it's not going anywhere, it looks like. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very difficult to move it, but you're saying that things are taking place to make sure they're being held accountable.
Absolutely.
And that they're obeying all the regulations and laws.
That's exactly right.
Okay, let's go to a caller we have on our voicemail. This is Jesse.
My name is Jesse Diaz. I live in the Mission San Jose neighborhood area. My question is about the Camino Real Motel, which is a high crime hotspot for drugs and other related crimes. Ever since it was opened, the neighborhood has become extremely unsafe, subjugated to robberies, break-ins. There's even been a resident who shot somebody who was trying to break into his home, and they were found at the Camino Real motel where they were staying. As a neighborhood, we're putting in our reports. We're putting in working with our safe officers, and we're very concerned that a lot of human trafficking, among other things, are being passed right under our noses at this particular motel. So my question is, what is being done? Could there be the substation ideas? Could the substation be put very close to Mission San Jose and maybe bring these folks into compliance and drive the criminal element right out of Mission San Jose to protect not only the community, but also the visitors?
All right. That was a call from Jesse on our voicemail line, and City Council Member Rebecca Villagran from District 3.
Thank you. I'm glad Jesse called with this concern and this question. It has been a concern for a while, just some of the activity that has been going on at some of these motels that line South Presa and Roosevelt in a certain area of District 3. And we have had different vice squads go out there. We have had our safe officers coordinate with the neighborhoods, but we still have to remain vigilant and work with our neighborhoods here, because where we fix it in one area of that street in a motel, then we see it move to another area. We have reached out to some of the apartments in the area, but also the motel owners. We have reached out to, we've had meetings with them and asked them to keep us abreast of what is happening in their motels. If they have issues, to call us, to call our office, or to call the substation. They do have relationships with the SAPD and with our safe officers, and we need to make sure that if something does not look right, that we constantly call it in. And I know the issue of the substation, I brought this up, I think it was, last week at our budget work session. I asked the question about a substation for District 3, because we do not have a police substation in District 3. So it would cost dollars, a lot of money, but it would also cost about, we would need 200 police officers to fully have a substation in the district. So it's a combination of capital dollars, but also dollars for personnel. But we are working. We want to continue to hear these issues like Jesse shared about what they're witnessing. And we will work with our office, with our safe officers, and with the chief's executive team, the executive command, to do what we need to do to eradicate this kind of behavior in our community.
We've seen the city hall declare some businesses public nuisances before. Mm-hmm. I mean, what does it take to do that?
You know, a former council member, she did work to try and change. She did change some of the ordinances of it not being able to do just rent by the hours. And we have, 4 years ago, we reached out with the hotel owners in the area to continue to work with them because we need their full participation so we can make sure that this behavior is not happening there. So I asked them that they really build relationships with the neighborhoods because that's what it takes.
So that call from Jesse, you know, it's a public safety call, concern. Do you get a lot of those?
We do. We get our share of them. And we have people who even work in our office who live in and around there. And we do need the participation from the community and from our police force too. It's a coordinated effort because people are really smart. They know when to go by. They know when to not go by. So the police officers are also trying to do their part to catch people in the act. So we really need to have that coordinated effort.
So is there a community police effort? Do y'all have that in that area?
Well, that's something that we can create, a community police effort. We had one, yes, but then when we don't see, when we keep seeing people come out again, maybe we do arrest them and then they come back to the area. We try to do that. And it's difficult. It's really difficult because we arrest them and then they make bail and then they go back out at the area. So we do what we can and we'll continue to work on that.
And so this is right close to the Mission San Jose. Mm-hmm. Is that also a concern?
Oh, absolutely. It's along our Roosevelt and our South Presa corridors. And one of the things that I think is going to help with this kind of behavior is we're putting some we're putting bond dollars into fixing the streets and making it more walkable and pedestrian friendly. So when we create an area where there are more eyes on the street, where there are more people who are going to be driving up and down the street to get from downtown to the missions, people will not want to be doing those activities there. So I think when we have more economic development and investment, we will not see this kind of behavior happening up and down this area. But we also don't want it just to move to another area of the community. We need to take care of it.
Right. This was the way it was with the Austin Highway for a long time in the 90s. Mm-hmm. It was like that. And then a lot of economic development and upswing. And some of those old motels are still there, but they're fewer and far between. And there's a lot of old motels along Roosevelt, and mm-hmm. people are, you know, maybe that's just the next area to upswing.
One of the areas that we're hoping is, you know, in Austin, there's South Congress with these boutique hotels that are serving for different travelers. Maybe some of these can be transformed for recreational travelers who will want to go to the missions, who will want to do the mission reach, kayaking, biking. That can be an opportunity to make those changes.
Right. And part of that is showing people that story, letting them know it doesn't have to be this way. You can provide the leadership and the vision and draw from other people's experience to say, this is how other neighborhoods, other cities have dealt with this problem. And we can do the same here in District 3.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a break here. We'll come back with more phone calls. We've got Rebecca Villagran, City Council Representative for District 3, sitting with us. And she wants to hear from you. Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio, Rebecca Villagran, City Council Representative for District 3. She's taking your calls, talking about San Antonio and the future of District 3. Let's get a call from our voicemail. This is Marisol.
This is a question for Councilwoman Villagran. My name is Marisol. I'm a resident of District 5. I'm just wondering if she can give us a update on the status of current protections that have been put in place by the Housing Commission or by her district in particular to prevent further displacement, given that the Housing Commission and the task force that preceded it were formed specifically in response to the displacement of Mission Trails community members. What has her district done in response to that, or what can she tell us about what the Housing Commission has done to make sure that something like that never happens again?
Right. We were just talking during the break about all the awesome housing and neighborhoods that is available in your district, District 3. But some people are concerned about, what if all the yuppies found out our wonderful secret and they moved here and we saw gentrification and displacement?
Well, we have some wonderful legacy neighborhoods and legacy homeowners that are in the area, and we do see the growth and the attention coming to the South and to District 3. And what we are making sure that we do is, conversations that we're having is, what can the city do to alleviate or help those legacy homeowners that they're not taxed out or appraised out of their areas? Because we see that they are finally, my area, we are getting the infrastructure improvements, the drainage improvements, the sidewalks that we've needed for a very long time.
You have a lot of amenities. We're just Southside Lions Park. I was there this weekend. It's a beautiful park. It rivals Brackenridge.
We have wonderful parks. We have great authentic restaurants, legacy restaurants in the community too. People are seeing what they can find here. And because of that, we want to make sure that we can maintain the authentic identity of our communities. And that's one of the things with the World Heritage Work Plan. And we're making sure that if any dollars from the city are put towards something, that we can make sure that we have a place that all of the residents in the community have an open, transparent process, that they can be part of the process, that they'll be heard. And for the mayor has just kicked off a brand new task force that he will be having some members of the entire community to give some framework for us, because we do need affordable housing in San Antonio. And that's one of the things that we'll be looking at. And I'm looking forward to where we're going to be moving with this conversation.
Okay, back to the callers, and Rachel is on the line. Rachel, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilwoman Villagran, for this conversation. It's great to see some thoughtful planning. And a question, you know, when Judy Babbitt sent out the map to make the Riverwalk, advertise that the Riverwalk had become handicap accessible, San Antonio became flooded with tourists who had not previously been able to get to the Riverwalk. And living in District 3 myself, I know there are huge sectors or a district where people with disabilities have very few employment opportunities because the buildings aren't accessible. And not all of these are old buildings. Some of them are definitely built after the laws were in effect requiring access. So I'm wondering, as this is happening, how do you foresee making this a really accessible area that where people can, everyone is able to spend their money and also to be able to look for employment?
All right, Rachel, thank you for the call.
Yeah, thank you, Rachel, and thank you for your service. And, you know, Judy Babbitt was a great advocate for accessibility for all at the city of San Antonio. And one of the things that we want to make sure, as she said, as Rachel mentioned, we need to make sure that accessibility for all peoples, whether it's transportation and whether it's making sure our sidewalks and our great amenities that we were talking about have items that are accessible for all, anything from playground equipment to sidewalks in neighborhoods to access to get to the overlook or to our lake and to the Mission Reach. We need to make sure that that is always part of the planning. And I think we're there, and we are there as a city, and we also will continue to make that as part of an issue at the forefront because of the our chief equity officer and our Office of Equity in the city of San Antonio. So that will always be at the forefront of our conversations and making sure that we have those conversations and coordination with employers so we can give those opportunities for all of San Antonio.
All right, another caller. This is Howard. And Howard, welcome to The Source. You're on the air with District 3 City Council Member Rebecca Villagran.
Hi, pleasure to speak with you this morning. I am curious to ask your thoughts on the statue in Travis Park, whether it should be moved or not. I'm not a racist by any means, but I really think it should be left there.
All right, Howard, thank you for the call. Appreciate your input on that. And Rebecca Villagran.
Thank you. Over the past, you know, month, a couple of my colleagues moved for a request to have the discussion to remove the Confederate monument, the Confederate statue from Travis Park. And since then, the city has witnessed just a lot of intimidation, violence, and even murder in Charlottesville. Intentions and intimidation efforts have even been revealed here in San Antonio.
So you mean like the guys with the machine guns standing in front of City Hall?
Yes, standing in front of City Hall as people were walking in to go to Citizens to be Heard, right in front of the City Council chambers. And so I think that those actions just amplify the fact that we need to we cannot, in my opinion, tolerate a hatred that's masquerading for heritage. I'm not saying that we should erase history, by no means, but I do believe that America, in fact, has had a very complicated and nuanced story and history. San Antonio has too. And I do believe that a statue alone can't provide the context of telling that story, but I do believe moving them into a museum to make sure that they are in the proper environment and context to tell that story is important. And so that's why I do believe I will be supporting an effort to remove the statues to a museum to tell the story of our history, but in a right context and environment.
Another caller, this is Katrina. And Katrina, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much, Councilwoman Villagran, for taking my call. I'm going to address the San Antonio Fighting Back Incorporated, which is with the GVI. And I know that that is being looked at to possibly be, you know, removed or no longer funded. And so I just kind of want to, you know, vocally say that this particular program, as a recipient of its support, because my husband was murdered and I live in District 3, but the incident happened in District 2. So I'm, you know, kind of being there for both districts, you know, but it's vitally important that yourself as well as many others also know the importance of this particular group, because there was, in these past 2 months, no one else has ever, not once, actually reached out to me and provided any kind of support after this heinous incident that happened to my husband. My question to you is there any way that, you know, San Antonio Police Department or the council, you know, the mayor as well as the council people would be able to find funding to actually be able to put 40 plus, you know, more police officers in the east side and, of course, the west side, District 2, District 3, but also be able to find funding to continue this grassroots program, you know, that does make an impact in the community. Sometimes it's not seen, but I have personally been able to see, not just as the recipient, but also as going out there and being able to provide to these people who are left kind of like behind. Any thoughts on that?
Katrina, thank you so much. I'm sorry to hear about your husband. That's a terrible tragedy. So Councilmember Rebecca Villagran.
Thank you, Katrina. And I am, I'm sorry to hear about the tragedy with your husband. And I do thank you for vocalizing the good work that San Antonio Fighting Back has done and has been for you. And I'll be sure to let the police chief know. As you may know, it was discussed at our public safety budget work session last week that San Antonio Fighting Back, an element of it will be reorganized. Well, it would be reorganized in the San Antonio Police Department. So it will not look the exact way as it does or function the exact way as we see it now, but that it would still exist within a functioning part of the San Antonio Police Department. The reorganization hasn't been fully worked out yet, but I do believe that we want to take those things like the building bridges, like the help that you've received, and like building relationship with the community to stop things before they even start. Those elements, we want to make sure that we capture and we do efficient work with them and highlight those and work with those within the San Antonio Police Department and reorganize it that way. So it would still exist in a different reorganization.
Well, so a lot of the violence and the deaths that we're seeing, homicides in San Antonio, are in District 2 and District 3. And so what do you attribute to that?
You know, I am just it's just befuddling to see what is the increase and what is happening. I do think that drug use has to do with it. I do think that gang violence has to be a part of it as well. And that's why I do believe elements of SA Fighting Back and the GVI, elements of that still do need to be a part of the process. And building community policing rapport, because we have to build those before we try to scrap it and do something else.
All right. We're going to continue talking with Rebecca Villagran, District 3 City Council member. We're going to take a break, come back. We've got more phone calls, or got a couple of lines open if you want to call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. With us in the studio today, Rebecca Villagran, City Council Representative for District 3. She's taking your questions and comments. You can call in. The number is 210-614-8980. We've had a couple of calls. They just left messages to our producers. One of them asked about stray dogs in the neighborhood. We always get that question because that's an issue. There's a lot of people out there trying to help with the dog population in San Antonio. It's a never-ending situation.
Yes, and what we need and want to encourage all of your listeners to do is to make sure that they can spay and neuter their animal, make sure that they are either in the house or behind the fences and not roaming the streets. And in District 3, that's one of the main things I ran on in 2013 when I first ran. I even got bit by a dog when I was block walking. But one of the big accomplishments we've done so far in District 3 since I came on council was open a spay and neuter facility on the Brooks campus in District 3, because the high rates of stray and roaming and loose animals in Districts 2, 3, and 4, and we never had a location for spay and neutering animals in our area. But now we have that for low cost and no cost for people with certain zip codes. So that is there available. The Humane Society runs it. So it's there to bring those pet owner responsibilities to mitigate those stray and loose dogs.
It could be coming to the City Council soon, to a revision to the animal care ordinance that might require all animals, unless they're licensed, to be spayed and neutered.
Yes, it will, amongst other items, will be on that, and we're taking public comment about that. We're getting a lot of comments about backyard chickens too, but the animals and how you can confine them in your backyard with a leash or with a rope, etc. Those are some modifications that we'll be changing in the animal care services chapter.
Here's a caller, Jeff. Hey, Jeff, welcome to The Source. You're on the air with Rebecca Villagran, District 3 City Council member.
Hi, Mrs. Villagran.
Hi.
My question is about Mission Reach. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I know they put a lot of money into redoing the river portion of Mission Reach. How come it's kayaking only and no inflatables, you know, like tubing? Why can't we make that part of the river tubing accessible? We could use water reclaimed by saws, but it's not putting the San Antonio River downstream anyway. We could recirculate that water with pumps and filters to maintain its quality. We could add water to maintain water flow. This would bring people down to that part of town instead of driving all the way into Braunfels or San Marcos to go tubing. Also, in other parts of the country, it's called the Lazy River. There's Lazy Rivers everywhere. Like at Disneyland Orlando at Blizzard Beach, they have a Lazy River. I think Six Flags has a Lazy River. We use concession stands along the river to sell tubes. They'd be taxed, and they can help defray the cost.
All right. I think we got the point, Jeff. Interesting idea, turning the river, the museum reach, into a tubing destination.
Or the Mission Reach.
Mission Reach. Yes.
Well, Jeff, thank you for your call. So,
does the water move fast enough for something like that?
Well, so the area for the Mission Reach that does have the kayaking now, it is not for the faint of heart, because there are chutes that you need to go down. And so there are rocks that are There are lots of rocks. So something inflatable, I think that would be number one, not able to do it because all of the rocks and the areas of the river do become shallow very quickly in certain areas. So I think from a functionality aspect, I don't think it would be functional, number one. And number two, our Mission Reach was really restored and redone as revitalization of an ecosystem in that area to bring the natural part of what that river used to be back. And so that's our main focus for the Mission Reach.
Right, it's really a flood control sort of issue. Mm-hmm. That's the intent. That's why we got federal dollars mm-hmm. and Army Corps of Engineers and
right.
all these people doing that.
It's
not really for recreation.
It's a flood control, and it's also restoring the ecosystem. We're having the waterfowls come back that went away, and now they're there again.
All right. But it was an interesting idea. I'm going to think about that. All right, so Bill's called in. Let's get Bill on here. Hey, Bill, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I've got a couple of comments. I like thoughts of the councilwoman. The public safety sector is taking up a whole heck of a lot of the budget, almost two-thirds, and moving ahead. We have two strong unions, and I guess that's the reason. But I'm curious as to whether cities are comparable to the size of San Antonio, spends as much for their public safety. And secondly, community policing is a concept that everyone realizes is a plus for any community. When are we going to go ahead and adopt that, full force, rather than waiting for a grant from Justice Department or someone else? Let's just go ahead and put the guys on the street where they're most needed. Your thoughts, please.
All right. Thanks for the call, Bill. Appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you, Bill. Good to hear from you. And one of the questions that I did ask last week was to get from city staff, what is the number of police officers that we should have in a city the size of San Antonio? I have not gotten that data yet. And then I think on top of that, a good question that he asked was, well, is it the same amount of money that they're spending in other cities as we are? We've seen different mixes of dollars for different cities. And I do know that San Antonio has some of the highest amount of money that we're spending on public safety. But we also put other items in our public safety fund that maybe other cities portion out and put in other areas. Community policing, I agree. I did sit on the Council on Community Policing, what that Mayor Taylor had initiated. And so we had come up with some items, and I'm not sure where that will be right now or how it will move, but I think community policing is very important, looking at recruitment, looking at training, looking at community outreach. That's very important to have that relationship building with our police officers.
And to Bill's point, and this, we talked about this earlier in the program, the Fourth Court of Appeals upholding the provision in the collective bargaining agreement with the San Antonio and the Professional Firefighters Association. Mayor Ron Nuremberg reacted by saying, "This case is not a trivial matter. It affects how the city spends nearly almost $800 million each year in public safety." So obviously this is an issue that's being dealt with at the highest levels in the city.
Yes, at the highest levels in the city, and we're having the conversations at the state right now. And that's why it's important for us to make sure that we have the opportunity to make sure that negotiations can be made.
Another caller, this is Micah. And Micah, welcome to The Source. You're on the air with District 3 City Council Member Rebecca Villagran.
Mrs. Villagran, thank you. God bless for taking the time to speak with our community.
Thanks.
My concern is how we would be able to further our community with the amount of taxes that are occurring. People are being taxed out of their homes on a daily basis, everything from our work check to death tax is being overtaxed. We're overcharged for it. The ability to live has gotten difficult to where people have to leave their houses that they pay for 8 hours a day at least. They have to commute 30 minutes either way, back and forth. And we should be able to come together, get in the streets. The people who are in the streets own the streets. Whenever the police pull up on a crime scene, they ask the homeless people, you know, what's going on here? Because they have the most knowledge of what's going on in their area.
All right, Mike, thank you for the call. So he started off asking, how can we build up the community? And then he addressed some other issues. So we'll try and get to all the areas he was talking about. First of all, how can we build up our community? I mean, that's the people. It's the people. How do we help them?
Well, kind of the elements that he touched on as well, I think it goes into balanced growth for the entire city. And that balanced growth has to be distributed equitably throughout the city. And that also goes to when new businesses are trying to come and locate into the city, to make sure that the South Side and District 3 also gets a shot at having being the home where these maybe new companies or new headquarters can land. So though the residents and the people in our community don't have to drive 30-minute commutes, don't have to spend so much money on gas, and can just be able to work close to where they live. We have that happening with at least school and education for higher ed, but let's do that, try and do that for economic development as well. And as we mentioned too, when it comes to the taxes that are happening in our community, I would have really loved to have seen our state legislature do some changes on the school reform financing, but that didn't happen. But now in this budget, we do not have a property tax rate increase.
Right. So one of the issues I've seen is people saying we have all these businesses moving to the South Side, but we're having trouble getting people to move where their jobs are. And a problem with that is with some of the school districts that you have in your district. And for example, Harlandale ISD is now under investigation by the TEA, one of several of our local school districts in the South Side who are dealing with these issues. So, I mean, it's not your area. You're not an elected official for a school district, but still this impacts your area.
They're all interconnected. They're all interconnected. South Side ISD is changing, Harlandale. And we need those single family homes in order to build up that property tax base for the school districts. But we just need to make sure that we also have transportation options for the community as well. And we're getting that too. We're going to get a Brooks Rapid Transit Center for our VIA, but it's about balanced growth and making sure that we have opportunity, just as much as opportunity in the South Side as we do on different parts of town, because that will help build all of us up.
Rebecca Villagran, City Council Representative for District 3, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.